Please open your Bibles to Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I doubt there's anybody here tonight who has never heard those words before. But how often have you actually looked into what those verses actually teach? Tonight I want us to look at some of the characteristics of salt and light and see if we can learn some of what Jesus was telling us that we need to do. All right. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." What do we know about salt? Well, first, salt is salty. Oh, come on, the picture didn't show up. That seems so obvious. But have we ever really thought about what's said there? I mean, how can salt lose its savor? How can it lose its saltiness? Well, we need to realize that the salt that people used at that time was not what we usually get from the grocery store. You see, always good to have a backup plan. This is what we think of as salt, but what they used back in those days, they would find with all kinds of other minerals in there. Yes, it gives that salty taste. But when they would take this salt full of other minerals and store it either in a leather bag or something like a wineskin, something that could easily happen would be moisture from the air would get in there. That salt would begin to melt away. And it would leave behind all those other minerals. After a while, that which made the salt salty would be gone. You would have a bag full of sand and rocks. What do you do with that? You throw it out where the ground's slippery to add a little bit of grit. Well, Jesus said, if the salt loses its savor, loses its saltiness, it's good for nothing. If we, who are supposed to be the salt of the earth, lose our saltiness, if we lose what makes us different from the world, why should we expect that we would be treated any differently from the world? We have a command, well, in many places, but we have commands to be separate from the world, to be different. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We're supposed to be separate from the world. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to have that same nature. But how easy is it for somebody who has been set apart, who is the salt of the world, to fall back into that old habit, the old ways, to be like the world again? 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. What would happen if somebody had never known the way of righteousness? They'd be lost. Well, Peter says, it's worse to be saved and then be lost. It's worse to lose that salty nature, for that salt to lose its savor. Only thing I can think of that would be worse than being in hell for eternity is being in hell for eternity and saying, I had it and I lost it. What else do we know about salt? Salt is a preservative. Salt has been used since the ancient times for preserving meat. I do not know how long ago that used to be on the hoof, but now that's beef jerky, and that'll be good for a good long while. As long as I don't drop it. In the same way, we are to act as a preservative. Genesis 18:20. God warned Abraham that he was going to destroy the wicked city of Sodom. Abraham asked God, will you save that city? Will you preserve that city if there are 50 righteous people in there? God says that if there's 50 righteous, I won't destroy the city. But Abraham doesn't stop there. He says, well, what if there's 45? You know, what if we're just 5 short? God says, I won't destroy it if there are 45 righteous people. Well, what if there's 40? I won't destroy it if there's 40. What if there's 30? I won't destroy it if there's 30. What if there's 20? What if there's only 10 righteous people? God says, I won't destroy the city if there are 10 righteous people. Have you ever noticed that Abraham stopped there? Why did he stop with 10 righteous people? Well, who lived in Sodom? We know that Lot lived in Sodom. Lot's wife, Mrs. Lot. Genesis 19:14 makes reference to Lot's sons-in-law, plural. So two sons-in-law, that means we've got at least two sons-in-laws, for the plural, means you've got at least two married daughters. Genesis 19:12 talks about thy sons. He's got at least two sons. We know he had two unmarried daughters. Guess what? Lot's family should have been enough to preserve Sodom. There's another time further into the Bible when Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. The northern kingdom had been taken into captivity, and Ezekiel gives a warning about how wicked the southern kingdom had become. Ezekiel 16:51, neither hath Samaria committed half thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. In other words, as wicked as the northern kingdom was, the southern kingdom exceeded it. Instead of taking the warning, they went far beyond. But there was a king by the name of Josiah. 2 Chronicles 34, starting in verse 27. God says to King Josiah, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledst thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. In other words, we've got one righteous person in a wicked nation because of him. God says the entire nation is going to be preserved for another generation. That's what one righteous person can do. What do we know about salt? We know that salt is essential to life. Salt is needed to transmit nerve signals, maintain fluid balance. A lack of sodium can cause vertigo, high blood pressure, heart attack, or stroke. I thought that was interesting. You always hear about high blood pressure coming from too much sodium. It can come from not enough also. Well, if you are the salt of the earth, you are needed for the earth to have life. The salt of the church is the only hope the world's got. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 6:63, he said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How many people did you say were in the school district here? 23,000, something like that? If you, the salt of the earth, are not going to bring that life, Jesus in his words, who will bring it to them? They need you. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. What qualities does light have? Light brings sight. I was talking with somebody here who was a science teacher. You'll verify, you're not actually seeing me. You're seeing the light that is bouncing off of me going to your eyes. With no light, you've got no sight. We're supposed to reflect that light of God so the world can see. We're supposed to teach people God's word. Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We're supposed to show that light through our works. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Light drives out darkness, which, once again, seems like an incredibly obvious statement. Where there's light, there is no darkness. Because by definition, darkness is the absence of light. As the light of the world, we're to drive out darkness. Second Samuel 22:29, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. The same way, his presence drives away that darkness. We're supposed to do that also. Now, what do you have to do to light to make it drive the darkness away? Nothing. That's what light does. It will do that automatically as long as there's nothing hiding that light, like putting it under a bushel. Jesus didn't say make your light shine, just let your light shine. We're going to do that. We're going to drive away darkness if we are living as light. I remember one time I worked in an auto parts factory, and there was a bulletin board where the management would send their notifications down to everybody. I have no idea what the message was on this one occasion, but it was bad news from the point of view of the workers there. And I remember somebody looking over at me when they were seeing that news. And they said, I know you don't cuss, but you can get away with it today. Now, I don't remember doing anything specifically to draw attention to the fact that I didn't use profanity. But they noticed, even without me having to do anything. People will see. People will notice. And if enough people are living as light, it'll drive away that darkness. People will not be as drawn to that. Light brings peace. Why is it the little kids will cry out for a nightlight? When a room is dark, they can't see what's there. There's fear that comes with that darkness. But a light, any light, even a little tiny night light, and they're not afraid anymore. Peace comes with light. Matthew 5:9. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We are to not just be at peace in ourselves. We're supposed to try to bring peace, to make peace. Now, sometimes there's limits to what we can do. We definitely can't compromise the truth to make peace. And sometimes there's nothing we can do because people just want to be that way sometimes. Romans 12:18 says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." We should strive for peace. Recognize that some things are beyond our control. We're called to be salt and light. There are things that we can do that will influence everyone we come in contact with. But first of all, we need to have obeyed the gospel, to be Christians, to be salt and light. And we need to live our lives in such a way that we don't lose that saltiness, that we're not putting our light under a bushel. This evening, if there's anything that you need to do to be right with God, take the opportunity. If there's anything that we can do so that you can leave here knowing that you're right with God, we ask that you would come forward in simple, obedient faith as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.